Please turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. If you can believe it, we're going to... Since we've only done 1 through 6, we're going to quickly read those. For those that are just joining us, we'll summarize it what we've been going over. I'll just put in how we've kind of interpreted in these lengthy studies the last 3 weeks. But as I want to emphasize often is, why are we studying this? Because the most important thing of why are we studying this, it is the Word of God. And it is what God wants us to understand. And as Scott taught in 2 Peter this last week, you know, Peter says that, you know, some of the things that Paul teaches is hard to understand. I think 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is one of the hardest chapters to understand about the prophecy. What is he really saying? And he talks about how some of Paul's teachings are twisted by people to say, you know, the way you understand 2 Thessalonians really governs how you conduct your life. And I'm going to say the way I read it is he is making it perfectly clear, like no other chapter in the New Testament, that we're gone before the Antichrist is revealed. That we're gone, that we, the Holy Spirit inside of the church, in the church dispensation. See, the view of Scripture that was really prevalent back in the 70s is the dispensational view of Scripture, which is that there was the dispensation of, you know, Adam and Eve and the garden, and there is no sin, and then they fall. Okay, so then there's a dispensation after the fall. Then there's a dispensation of the law, and, you know, calling of Abraham, and that we're in the dispensation of the church, and the church is going to end, and then there's going to be a new dispensation. The new dispensation is going to be really the events that Daniel describes of the fourth beast. It's the dispensation of the fourth beast and what it takes for the fourth beast to rise to power, to become a ten-headed monster, and the Antichrist rising and all this other stuff. And the church is not there in that discussion. And Paul's making that clear to the Thessalonians. And again, he's going to say, I told you all these things. He told people that we now know were 2,000 years before these events could happen. So why was Paul teaching? He was teaching it under inspiration to teach to them, because for them to have this attitude of, you know, God is going to bring his kingdom and he's going to take us someday. And we're going to encourage one another with these words. He's going to take us out of this world and he's going to plunge the world into the fourth, you know, to the fourth beast of Daniel. And let's encourage one another with these words. Well, that works until now. We're encouraging with one another with that, right? And otherwise, as people will say, I'm looking for Jesus. Others are looking for the Antichrist. If you think you're going to go through the tribulation, you're actually looking for the Antichrist. You're getting all ready for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus to come and call us home into the air. And that doesn't mean that I might not be killed for my faith before then. The guillotine of the Antichrist, to me, is a whole lot better than the torturing of Pastor Young, as I mentioned, with the heavenly, you know, I mean, I would rather... You know, the Bible says the Antichrist takes people's heads off. I'd rather be persecuted that way than to be persecuted the way Christians are being tormented all over, all through the centuries and today. I'm not going to lose my faith because he's going to chop my head off, as we discussed last week. So let's go. I'm going to read it the way we've taught it, the way I understand it, which if I'm wrong, then, you know, it's I've tried my best. Again, 45 years of looking at the prophetic word of God and listening to all the different... I've been all over the map. I've been a pre-tribber, a mid-tribber, a post-tribber, a pre-wrath guy over the years. And, I mean, I've just kind of... And this is where I'm solidly, you know, solidly on, because of all the reasons we've given over the last few weeks, and we're going to continue today. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, topic number one, and our gathering together to him, topic two, the rapture, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. And those are the events of the book of Revelation after the first three chapters, because it's called the apocalypse, the unveiling of Christ, the day of Christ, the fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7, which again, I'm speculating that that's what Paul taught them. That Paul taught them the prophetic word of God about the fourth beast that was going to be coming. And, you know, that's the day of Christ, because that's what you see in Daniel. You see, oh, what about that fourth beast? Oh, the fourth beast, there's going to be 10 heads, and then there's going to be this one little horn that pops up, takes the other three, and he's going to talk blasphemies and all these other things he's going to do. But then Jesus comes and he takes them out. And so You know, all of that. That's what's going to be happening in the, as the day of Christ comes. Let no one deceive you by any means for that day. The days of the unveiling of the Antichrist, the man of sin, will not come unless the falling away, taking away. The word can mean taking away. The verb is used that way in the New Testament, rapture. Unless the rapture. That's, you know, people disagree. If you want to listen to a 1 hour study, some people listened to it this last week and told me, Kevin, it just cleared up everything. Dr. Andy Woods, on YouTube, Dr. Andy Woods, rapture or apostasy. And you look at that, our teaching, you'll be convinced. It's talking about unless the rapture comes first, unless the being caught away, for those that don't want to, that want to say, oh, the rapture doesn't appear in the Bible, unless the caught away of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, and until we're caught away first, that day, the revealing of the Antichrist and stuff is not going to happen until the we are taken out of the way comes first, and then, you know, and the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of perdition. We're taken out, then he comes. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. This is a clear reference to what Daniel says. He's going to exalt himself and speak blasphemies. He's going to be against God. So that he sits as God in the temple of God. This is the New Testament emphasis on the Jewish. You know, this requires the Jews to be back in the land of Israel. So that solves that problem. Look at how much of the church believes in the replacement theology. You cannot believe in replacement theology and believe in it with a clear understanding, an untwisted understanding of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because the Jews have to be there and they have to build their temple in Jerusalem for this to happen because it's never happened in history before. So this chapter prevents replacement theology from being embraced. If you want to listen to the scriptures, he will sit as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In the future, there's going to be this man of sin talked about in Daniel, who's going to go into the temple and commit the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel and Jesus. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things and their future to us? And Paul thought it was important for them to know under inspiration. And it's important for us to know. And now you know what is restraining, because he told them, didn't tell us, so we have to figure it out. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, he being the Antichrist. There's something restraining the Antichrist from being revealed. And we talked about that, alluding back to verse 3, that the rapture has to come first. You know, that, see, we, the church, are here. We have to be taken out of the way for him to be revealed. And you know what's restraining? It's the Holy Spirit inside the church, as we closed our study with last week. And so verse 7, picking up this week. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, as we discussed in our little fellowship prayer time. Man, oh man, lawlessness is running rampant in our country and around the world. And because if you don't love the lawgiver, if you reject the lawgiver, you reject his word, what do you end up with? Lawlessness. You're under the sway of the wicked one. And, you know, as we've said, evil becomes good. Good becomes evil. Black becomes white. White becomes black. Men become women. Women become men. You know, I mean, it's just everything is lawless because God's law no longer applies. And that's what our culture is doing globally. For the mystery of lawlessness is only what... Only already at work, only he who now restrains, and again, the Holy Spirit in the believers alive at the time of the rapture, which I think is us, will do so until he, the Holy Spirit in the church, is taken out of the way in the rapture of those who the Holy Spirit possesses. You know, people can say, do you believe in possession? Oh, yeah, I'm possessed. Really, you're possessed? With Jesus. I'm possessed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. See, God in this dispensation has chosen, and turn to John chapter 14, verse 15. God has chosen to put the Holy Spirit inside of his church saints in this dispensation. Why? Well, Jesus told us in John chapter 14, John chapter 16, and Acts chapter 2. He did, or one, He said that we could become what? That he is wanting to fill us and overflow us with the Holy Spirit that we might become his witnesses. And that word behind witnesses is martyrs. That we would be willing to sacrifice our lives for getting the message of the gospel out. To be used by God to talk to the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. To be a restraining work within the world. To be salt. To be light. If the salt has lost its savor, then where will it be salted? And all this. See, we're a restraint. Everything about what Jesus taught is we're going to be a restraining force in the world because of the Holy Spirit inside of us. So, but that's going to change when we're gone. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he, masculine like 2 Thessalonians, see, Holy Spirit's he, it's not a she, no matter what Bible they put out these days, and so it's the he that's being talked about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him for, now he's talking to his disciples before the cross. He's speaking to the disciples before the resurrection. He says, for you know him for, but you know him for he dwells with you. Old Testament. And will be in you. The change that happens in the church age. The Holy Spirit becomes in us for the first time. You know, David didn't have the same relationship with the Holy Spirit that we do. All the Old Testament Jews, they didn't have the relationship. And was it the Jewish mission? Was it the mission through all the entire Old Testament to evangelize the world for the gospel? No, it was not their mission. Their mission was to be in the land of Israel, to be faithful to the law of God, and to worship him as he had prescribed. And if another nation decided, hey, you know, like Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, supposed to be destroyed. He goes, you know, I like those Jews. I like their God better than all of our idols. And he goes into Israel. He has nothing. He gets given Bathsheba, his wife. That's all he had. And so he comes to become a Jew. But it was not their mission to evangelize the world. It was their mission to be true to God and to his law as revealed through Moses and Mount Sinai. So, but see, now we're in the dispensation of the church. God has changed the way he deals with human beings. And he has now said, I'm going to turn the Gentiles and the Jews, fill them with the Holy Spirit, send them through the world, give them the power of the Holy Spirit to be martyrs willing to die for their faith. And I'm going to evangelize the world with the gospel. That's what he told them. Now, people who say, well, Kevin, if you say the Holy Spirit is restraining, it has to be taken out of the way. Well, then you're saying that the Holy Spirit's gone. Well, there's people that get saved. There's a bunch of people that get saved during the tribulation period. Well, God's going to use other witnesses. See, God, he's using us as witnesses. And see, by the fact he takes us away, yeah, how many verses, let me go back. How many verses in the book of Revelation talk about the church evangelizing people to say, you know, stay away from the Antichrist and all this stuff? Zero. Zero. Well, then how is God witnessing to the world in the book of Revelation? He tells us. And we're going to see it. See, God is changing the dispensation. If you say the church is going through, why is there nothing about the mission of the church? Nothing. No instructions. No further martyrdom and stuff like this. Nothing. Because there's a dispensation change. Turn to John 16:7. Again, Jesus is telling them about how this change is going to happen. Something you Jewish disciples of mine, you're going to experience something totally different. Never before in history. The Holy Spirit is going to be inside you. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he... through us, I'm going to add in here, through us, because that's what happens, through us, will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me. Have you ever told somebody, you know what, you're sinning against God, and you need to repent and turn away from your sin and turn to God? Do we ever say that as Christians? The Holy Spirit in us is giving us that unction to tell them that. Of righteousness. God is righteous and holy. We need to turn away from the sin because the righteousness of God is going to rule forever and ever. You ever told somebody that? Yes, because of the Holy Spirit in you. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Yeah. Have you ever told anybody Satan loses? You ever told them that, you know, you say, you know, I'm going to party and everything else and there's not going to be judgment and I'll just make my deal with God at the pearly gates and stuff? No. You're not going to do it. The Holy Spirit is. See, the Holy Spirit is doing that. And there was a conscience in man. Romans chapter 1. Man has a conscience. He sees creation. And he sees that. The Holy Spirit is kind of convicting him of that too. But of sin, righteousness, and judgment, Jesus says right here, it's the Holy Spirit coming inside of us that is going to be then convicting of the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, which we've seen. So, turn to Revelation 11:3. And I'm going to skip Acts chapter 2. What happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit gets given to them, comes upon them, fills them, and now all of a sudden these, you know, ineffective and scared, people that are in fear of the Romans, all of a sudden they don't care. You can kill me if you want to. I'm going to preach the gospel right here on the steps of Jerusalem, Peter. I'm going to preach right here on the steps of Jerusalem. I don't care who hears, I don't care who sees. Something happened. The Holy Spirit came. And now they're witnesses, martyrs for God. So that we could proclaim the truth. So what happens during the tribulation period? Well, 11:3, it's talking about, and I will give power to my two witnesses. You know what the word is there? It's the same word. So the church is gone. And now God is going to establish two witnesses in Jerusalem. Oh, why Jerusalem? Why not? The Mormons think that Missouri is going to be the headquarters of God, you know, and some other people might think, why not? Why Jerusalem? That's Jews, unbelieving Jews that have given up their covenant of God. You know, God's broken his covenant with them because they killed Jesus. And so let's the church. No. Again, the Jews are in Jerusalem. These two witnesses are helping to oversee the building of the temple. There's nobody going to stop the building of the temple. And you have to see Zechariah 4 to understand that. And I will give power to my two witnesses. This is a new Pentecost. Because the church is gone. Because God always leaves a witness to the world. And the witness with us gone is these two witnesses. And they will prophesy 1,260 days, 3.5 years. First 3.5 years of the tribulation period. What's happening during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period? The Antichrist is rising to power. And he's rising to power and he's saying, hey, anything goes. All the religions are equal. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And where he got rid of those Christians are gone and everything else. And these two witnesses are going to be witnessing, oh no, there's a God. And you try and mess with our message and stuff, we'll call fire down on you. And the world hates them. And the Antichrist ends up killing him. And they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And you can listen to our Revelation study, chapter 11, online. You know, we don't have time, but that's Zechariah chapter 4, which is the chapter that says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit using these two witnesses to proclaim what God is having them proclaim during this time. And if anyone wants to harm them, I don't like your message. You're not joining the gay pride parade. You're actually telling us it's sinful. You know, Jerusalem had a gay pride parade here a few weeks ago too. Again, the mercy of God. You know, it's his, and it's another reason why. It can't be much longer. He's got to come to at least, there has to be a faithful remnant, a little bit of Jews that are there. If anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And I think it's going to be like Elisha, that he just called fire down. You know, if I'm a prophet of God, then, you know, fire's going to come down. Boom. They're burned. And Elijah, the fire coming down on the sacrifice. They're going to, out of their mouth, they're just going to speak it and fire's going to come down. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls. When did we read that? What do we read about that in Kings? Elijah, There was so much sinfulness under Ahab and Jezebel that God told Elijah, you tell him it's not going to rain until you say otherwise. And there was no rain on the earth in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them into blood. Who's that? Moses. And to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. You know, so again, it's because that most people think it's Moses and Elijah coming back. But some say, well, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Moses died. So it's going to be Enoch and Elijah. You know, it's doesn't matter. We'll see them being sent down as we're going to go up there and see them being sent down as the two witnesses, whoever they are. We'll get their name badges and know. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, who's that? You know, the beast, who's the beast according to scripture? It's that last global world system, and it's sometimes referred to as the Antichrist himself. But when you say who comes out of the bottomless pit, who does that usually refer to? Who's the beast of the bottomless pit? Satan. Well, what happens 3.5 years into the tribulation period? If you go to Revelation chapter 12, there's a great war in heaven. Michael and the angels, you know, Michael and God's angels against Satan and his angels, and Satan's cast down to the earth. Woe, woe, woe to the earth because Satan and his angels have been cast down and know that they only have a short time left. So that, even though that's the next chapter, it's happening right here as far as this is concerned. So Satan is actually forever, he no longer has access. He was kicked out when he rebelled against God, but he's had access, we know from the book of Job, to go up there. And so God is going to, at that battle, they're done. And they are all the demons, Satan and all the demons are forced to planet Earth. And the angels go, whoa. You know, we think it's bad with the number of demons running around in people today. It's going to be unbelievable the last 3.5 years. And so Satan is going to possess, he's going to come in and possess the Antichrist. And so the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, the Antichrist now possessed by Satan, will make war with them. 3.5 years, he makes war against these two witnesses, overcomes them and kills them. And their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, a term used in Jeremiah's prophecy to refer to Jerusalem, because they became like Sodom. They became like Egypt, full of idolatry and homosexuality. Where also our Lord was crucified. That clarifies it. You know, no more speculation about what Sodom and Egypt mean there. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nation will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put in the graves. You know, to let them rot, to let a body rot is the way that you try and make it like we hate you. all over the Old Testament, when God breathes judgment upon Jeroboam, the people of your descendants who die in the city will be eaten by the dogs. The ones who die in the field will have their eyes and body flesh pecked by the vultures, because you're not going to get buried. The worst thing that can happen in Jewish culture and understanding is to not get buried. And the whole world is going to say, don't bury those guys. Let's just watch them rot. Because they hate these two witnesses. Now, how come the church isn't doing this? Because we're gone. Why is it? And then, you know, Billy Graham came and they killed Billy Graham and they did this and this guy and that guy. Why isn't the Bible talking about that? Why is the whole world against just these two guys? Because they are the witnesses on earth for the first 3.5 years of tribulation. Because we're gone. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth because they wanted to sin. And how do we know how come they wanted to sin? Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. So they worshipped the dragon, Satan, who gave authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? They worshipped Satan. They worshipped the Antichrist, who Satan gave the authority to, is empowering him. And they say, and nobody can mess with our Satan and his Antichrist. It's going to be, they are actually going to be, I think Daniel even makes it clear, they're going to see this Satan. They're going to see this other God that his fathers did not know, the Antichrist. We'll talk about that later. Verse 11, oh, man. Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and a great fear fell on those who saw them, and they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them, and realized, oh, yeah, that's, man, maybe bad things are going to happen. So, now, I've left out the 144,000 in time, based on time, but in Revelation 14:1, turn there, at the same time that this is happening, that the two witnesses are being called up, Revelation 14:1 makes it clear that now the 144,000 are also in heaven. Now, the Bible's not as clear, you know, and what it says in 14:1 is, then I looked, and behold, a lamb, Jesus, standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. So the Bible does not explain how the 144,000 are witnesses too, but apparently they are also witnesses. So, but clearly the two witnesses are the 144,000, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, virgin men, not Jehovah Witnesses, that are going to be on earth at that time, doing whatever they're called to do. Somehow they're called up to heaven at this time. So now, okay, so 3.5 years later, okay, Kevin, you know, he said the church isn't there, and now the witnesses and 144,000 aren't there. So who's witnessing the last 3.5 years? Oh, well, that's when all the Christians come out of the bomb shelters because they didn't have enough food. And so now they come out and they start witnessing again. Not what the Bible says. Let's turn to Revelation 14:6. So now, see, what the Bible says in Daniel and in Revelation is, anybody that sticks their head up saying, I don't want to worship the Antichrist, which is what happens in 3.5 years, is you got to worship the Antichrist and take his mark. If they stick their head up and say, I don't want to go, I don't want to worship the Antichrist, can I give you four spiritual laws and tell you about Jesus? I mean, boom, they're dead. They're dead. If they stick their head up, they're dead. Not a very good witnessing plan for them. And already the enemy, who can make war against him? He took out the two witnesses that they could breathe fire on anybody, but the Antichrist beat him with the power of Satan. Who can make war against him? Daniel makes it clear that he is now given power over all the saints to kill them. There will be saints. They will say, you know what? I'm going to listen to whatever the 144,000 said, whatever the witnesses said, and 14:6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of water. They'll say, you know what? I'm going to believe that angel. I'm going to believe the angel, and later on a third angel says, don't take the mark. And so now God is shifting to another witness. He's shifting to the witnesses of angels themselves flying in the sky, because Satan and the Antichrist and the global system owns everybody else. There is no way to witness on earth. And now, as people twist, Matthew 24:14, which is the Olivet Discourse, don't turn there, I'm going to read one verse. There's so many missions programs. We've got to get out there and we've got to reach every tribe and tongue and nation. Because if we don't do that, God can't come back. They say that. And that's because they twist what Jesus was talking in the Olivet Discourse about the last days, about his coming. And what did it just say? These angels are going to fly and they're going to teach every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, fear God, turn to him. And what Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end comes. So the last 3.5 years, the angels are going around giving, these three angels are flying and giving this witness to everybody, and then the end comes. Because after that 3.5 years, Jesus comes back. Verse 8 of Revelation 14, and another angel followed, saying, And another angel followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink in the wine of the wrath of her fornication. You know, the global kingdom, the Babylonian final government of the Antichrist that nobody can make war against. Bam, it's, the angel's saying, it's going down. Don't trust in it. Babylon's going to be destroyed. Verse 9. Then a third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends, how long? Forever and ever. You know, these people that think that, you die and you just don't exist. I mean, the Bible makes it so clear in a thousand different ways. It's eternal. Forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. You know, there's people that lose all kinds of sleep because they made a bad investment, lost everything. Can you imagine? I mean, what is the torment going to be? I should have humbled myself and believed in Jesus. Look, I am separated from the God who created the heavens and the earth that I once existed in. And I said he didn't exist, and I just wanted to pursue sin. Can you imagine how tormented those people are going to be? Going back to 2 Thessalonians, for the mystery of lawlessness is only at work. Only he who now restrains the Holy Spirit and the believers alive to the time of the rapture will do so until he's taken out of the way in the rapture. And then the lawless one will be revealed, and God is going to replace us with other witnesses, as is clearly delineated in the book of Revelation, where we don't appear. And we're out of time. Huh? You want me to finish this? We'll finish chapter 2. I love a website called gotquestions.org. You ever heard of that website? They have. I mean, I've never read one of their answers to questions that people write. And just go, that is just so unbiblical. I've never seen it. I've always rejoiced in their answers. This is what they say about this section of scripture. Paul does not specifically identify what or who the restraining force is, since the Thessalonians already knew. Many scholars have speculated as to the identity of the restrainer, naming the restraining force as, one, the Roman government. The Roman government's restraining the coming of the Antichrist. I don't think so. We'll throw that one out. Gospel preaching. As soon as gospel preaching stops, then he comes. Well, how in the world is that supposed to happen? The church has been told to preach the gospel. So gospel preaching, the binding of Satan. So if you bind Satan, then if you release him, then it's going to happen. And the providence of God. And it could be God's providence. He could just say, okay, now I'm going to let the Antichrist be revealed. He could do that. That's a viable option, if it weren't for the fact the scriptures make it clear that it's he that's taken out of the way. The Jewish state, the church, the Holy Spirit, and Michael the archangel is the biggest one. People say, God is going to... Michael the archangel is restraining this, and he is going to be taken out of the way. And they tie that to Revelation 12 and stuff. And then he says, we believe the restrainer is none other than the Holy Spirit. Or we could say the Holy Spirit working through the New Testament church. And that is the dispensational view. It makes so much sense. And the lawlessness will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. And if you're taking notes, Isaiah 63, Zechariah 12, Zechariah 14, Revelation 19. Or to go a little slower, Isaiah 63, Zechariah 12, Zechariah 14, Revelation 19. are all chapters talking about Jesus and, you know, the people that are on the Battle of Armageddon when Jesus comes right at Jerusalem area to rescue the people that are being raped and pillaged by the Antichrist armies. You know, he vaporizes them. Their flesh disintegrates off of their bones as they stand. And that's what it says is going to happen by the brightness of his coming. And then this is so important. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan. Satan is behind the deceptions today that are leading the world into embracing the idea of global government, embracing the idea of Sodom and Gomorrah, embracing Satan is behind all of this to make it so that the world will embrace this lawless one, Antichrist, with all power. There's going to be massive power, signs and lying wonders that are going to be happening by this Antichrist and these global leaders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So why are people not saved? Because they're not chosen? Not according to the Bible. It's because they rejected the truth. They did not receive the love of the truth. And you know, if you love the truth, what do about the lie? You hate the lie. And you can't stand the lie or any variation of it. And that's what it takes to love the truth. And so when you receive a love of the truth, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Everything else is a lie. The Word of God is the truth. Everything else is a lie. Unless you embrace and love that truth, the Bible says, you're going to be sent off into unrighteous deception. And, you know, a lot of people play around with going to church and learning a little bit, but they don't love the truth. As soon as it goes contrary to what they want to do for their lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. As soon as, like I said on Sunday, people now have 1,000 different reasons to say, oh, I don't think I like that part of the Bible. And they just take their Bibles and they start ripping out pages. And that's what's happening today in the Christian world, quote, Christian world. And that's why there isn't a love to go through the Bible and understand what it means. It's because that people get offended by the Word of God. Because they don't love the truth. And what's going to be one of the biggest deceptions the Antichrist has, according to Revelation chapter 13, he dies. He dies a deadly wound to the head. And he comes alive. What better deception is that than, you know, oh, Jesus. Jesus died and rose again. Antichrist died and rose again. Great deception. There's going to be great deception. And think of the Satan who deceived a third of the angels who were standing in the presence of God. That's showing his deception. I was going to give you the verses of Daniel chapter 11. Yeah, let's go. Daniel 11, 37. You say go for it. I know you're off tomorrow because it's 4th of July. And we did get a little late started. So you got to read Daniel 11, 37 through 39. To understand what's happening during the tribulation period. This is talking about the Antichrist. It gives us I think there's good people I know that disagree, but I think this is telling us clearly that the Antichrist is a Jew who did not love the truth. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers. The only people that have a God of their fathers are the Jews. You know, and who is that? Who is the God of their fathers? It's Yahweh. You know, Yahweh is the God of a Jewish man's father. To this day, the God of you tell a Jew, who is the God of your fathers? Well, you know, going Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, Yahweh. Nor the desire of women, it doesn't say for women, which people twist to be he's a homosexual. It doesn't say he doesn't have the desire for women. He doesn't have the desire of women. What's the desire of women in Jewish culture? That they would give birth to the Messiah, to the promised Messiah. So it's saying he'll have no regard for the God of his fathers, Yahweh, nor the desire of women, the promised Messiah, Jesus, nor regard any God. So he's not going to regard the things the Jews care about, the coming Messiah and Yahweh, or any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place, he shall honor a God of fortresses, and a God which his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Now the Jews, they worshiped, you know, they would worship Molech and all this other stuff, you know. But did they ever say, we're Satan worshipers? We're worshiping Satan. They never said that. They didn't, you know, they understood Molech, you know, God said behind all the idols are demons. But they never did Satan worship. And so I think it's saying, but in the place you will honor the God of fortresses, Satan, who is going to come in and give him the power to destroy anybody that comes against him. And he and the Antichrist is going to embrace that power. I've talked to Satanists. Why are you a Wiccan? Why do you follow Satan? Because of the power. That's what they say. Which his father said, no, shall honor with gold, silver, and precious stones, but in things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god. He's going to be able, who can make war against him? He will be able to completely annihilate anybody that comes against him with a foreign god. And now I'm going to throw in here, and I know people have said, Kevin, you know, I can't bring my friends here because of what you just said. I think it's going to be a, quote, alien. And I don't mean, you know, that I believe in Mars aliens. I believe that there are two, even the Navy and everybody else is starting to come clean with the fact we are seeing paranormal activity. There's been people at our men's retreats that were extremely high integrity, reputable people who witnessed things off the coast of the East Coast that are inexplicable. And this is back in the 50s. This guy was talking to us about what happened. There's more and more of these, quote, sightings that are being verified and talked about, but they're not aliens from, you know, some galaxy far, far away. They're demons that are being allowed to materialize into our world because the world wants them. Because the world wants Satan, and Satan is being given permission, okay? You can bring this great signs, wonders, deceptions to this world. And he's going to be able to say, Satan is going to stand there and Antichrist is my man. And I have empowered him. And I'm a Klingon. You know, I am here to give him his power. All those TV shows you were brainwashed with in the days of Hollywood through all these decades were preparing you for this day to embrace us and what we're telling you. Which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many and divide my land for gain. So, it's going to be bad. And for this reason, going back to 2 Thessalonians 2:9, and then we are really so close. And just say, Kevin, pick up your watch again. So, and for this reason, people's hatred of the truth, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. The lie. They're going to believe. What was the lie in the garden? You shall become like God. This will make you wise. And that's what the Antichrist and Satan is going to tell them. You're all gods. You're all part of the Christ consciousness. And you're all, you know, everybody's going to be able to be a god. And they shall all, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, because they did not love the truth, God gives them over to the lie that they would believe the lie because they had pleasures of unrighteousness. They wanted to be unrighteous. They wanted to be Antifa. They wanted to be the gay pride parade. They wanted to be living with their girlfriends and their boyfriends and committing adultery and all this other stuff. They love the unrighteousness. And so God said, well, then you don't love the truth. And he gives them over to a lie, that they would believe the lie. Because they had pleasures in unrighteousness. Now, some people teach that this means that if we share the truth with anybody, if we share the truth of the gospel, and they reject the truth, then when the tribulation comes, they have no choice. They're going to be, because they rejected the truth, God will give them over to the delusion, meaning there is no chance for them to repent afterwards. And that's, I mean, you could make it say that. But I don't think that's true. And it's not in the nature of God, is it? The nature of God is that you have the opportunity. See, if a person goes, man, I don't like righteousness, my life is messed up, but I just can't believe today, and da 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 da, and maybe, you know, talk to me tomorrow, poof, you're gone. Then There's going to be people that don't. There's people that don't love unrighteousness. You know, I was not loving unrighteousness, even though I was participating in it. And it was months and months later that I got saved. But I was sitting there, there's something wrong. I don't like this. I don't want to do this. What's the answer to life? And so there will be those people that we talk to that we're gone, and they're going to have a chance to repent, not take the mark of the beast, and have life everlasting if they... But they're going to have to... They're going to be losing their head. They're going to die.
On that precept, that makes the first coming that sooner.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is going to be a short time.
And look around. Look at what's happening. I'm getting an increased fervency, not just my meditations and praying with the Lord the last 3 months where I've been getting over this paralysis stuff, but I just feel an urgency. You know, I don't want to mess around anymore, beat around the bush. And so help us to, let's try and stir it up because we're going home. You go, amen, we're going home, you're done. So, Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, this is such an awesome section of scripture. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be witness people here by the power of your spirit. And we pray that you would help us to be fervent and on fire, Lord, in serving you. And being courageous and bold as your spirit is, and just help us to be sensitive to the leading of your spirit about what to say and not to say, and having our ears always open to those that would respond to the gospel. We thank you for this time. Pray you just open up our hearts to receive this teaching in a way that changes our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, I've been born again. Though I live in this world, for the present I am a citizen of heaven. I believe in Jesus, I've been born again. Though I live in this world, for the present I am a citizen of heaven. The world has come to make a place for me, where I will live for eternity. There'll be no sorrow, just goodness and peace, forever in Jesus. I believe in Jesus, I've been born again. Though I live in this world, for the present I am a citizen of heaven. The Lord has gone to make a place for me, where I will live for eternity. There'll be no sorrow, just goodness and peace, forever in Jesus. The Lord has gone to make a place for me, where I will live for eternity. There'll be no sorrow, just goodness and peace, forever in Jesus. There'll be no sorrow, just goodness and peace, forever in Jesus.
Amen. Amen. No sorrow, just goodness and peace forever in Jesus. Huh? Here, there, or in the air. Amen. We'll see you. God bless.